From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. President Obama and the other leaders at the G20 Economic Summit in South Korea have wrapped up a welcome dinner and opening meetings. Efforts by Mr. Obama to nail down a free trade agreement with South Korea came apart today after a meeting with that country's leader produced no deal. NPR's Louisa Lim says Mr. Obama is pledging to keep working toward a pact, though.
Flanked by his South Korean counterpart, President Obama said he hoped the deal would be done within weeks, not months. The major obstacles have been South Korea's market access to American beef and cars. The main day of the G20 summit is tomorrow, but today a G20 spokesman admitted that negotiators had been unable to settle the formal agenda, let alone agree to the leaders' communique. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Seoul.
Regardless of the official agenda, one major issue facing the leaders is currency values. The BBC's Andrew Walker says the stakes on the issue are high.
Ultimately, countries that are more competitive internationally, and they might achieve that by deliberately manipulating their currencies, are likely to have more jobs for people working in export industries. Countries that lose competitiveness may well lose those kind of jobs. That's why it's so important to them.
The BBC's Andrew Walker in Seoul. Earlier today, the president took part in Veterans Day ceremonies at a U.S. Army base in Seoul. He paid tribute to those who fought in the Korean War and those who are still deployed in Korea.
Now, real change comes slowly. Many people don't live to see the difference they've made in the lives of others. But for the men and women who have served on this peninsula, all you have to do is look around.
The president also urged North Korea to enter talks with the international community over its nuclear program or to face what he called more isolation and less security. Political leaders in Iraq say they have a tentative agreement on formation of a new government. NPR's Kelly McEvers in Baghdad says the accord will end an 8-month stalemate.
The deal means current Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, who is a Shiite, will remain as Prime Minister, and Jalal Talabani, a Kurd, will stay on as President. The third highest job, the Speaker of Parliament, will be given to a Sunni. A party backed by Sunnis had taken the most votes in the March 7th election, but that party failed to gain enough coalition partners to hold a majority of seats in parliament. Officials announced that the Sunni party also will be given control over a new national council that'll oversee defense and other key policy decisions. The aim is for Maliki to share some power with this council. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Baghdad.
A powerful bomb has exploded in the center of Pakistan's largest city, Karachi. The blast leveled a building, no word yet on casualties. Six suspected militants have been killed in Pakistan in what intelligence officials there say were U.S. missile strikes. The six were returning home after attacking a security post in Afghanistan. Stocks are lower on Wall Street, the Dow currently down 91 points. This is NPR News. Boeing and the Federal Aviation Administration are looking into the cause of a fire on board a new 787 jetliner during a test flight this week. NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports the incident is yet another blow to the 787 program, which is already nearly 3 years behind schedule.
Boeing has grounded its fleet of 787 test planes while it analyzes the data to determine exactly what went wrong and why. During the final approach to a landing in Laredo, Texas, a fire broke out in an aft electronics compartment. The fire caused the failure of the plane's primary electrical power system. But according to Boeing, a backup system provided the power and the data required to land the jet safely. Scott Fancher, head of the 787 program, described the event as serious. The company says it could take days to fully assess the problem. It's not yet clear if Tuesday's fire will delay FAA certification or delivery of the first jet, which is now slated for early next year. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News, Seattle.
Retailers in Washington state have 1 week to clear millions of dollars worth of alcoholic energy drinks off their shelves now that state regulators have banned those beverages. Brian Smith, a spokesman for the Washington State Liquor Control Board, says the drinks, sold under brand names such as Four Loko, are dangerous.
The very concept of this product is to get really wired, get really drunk. I mean, we're talking 5-6 cans of beer or 5-6 bottles of beer, 3 or 4 cups of coffee mixed together in a single can that you can buy for under $3.
Smith says the state acted after 9 college students who drank Four Loko were hospitalized with dangerously high blood alcohol levels. One of the students nearly died. 3 other states have also banned the beverages. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.
Support